call to order the City Council meeting for the City of Shore Acres on Monday, September 23rd, 2013, at 7 p.m. First order of business is roll call.
Stephen Jones, present.
Yes, Shaw, present.
Bo Bunker, present.
Matt Weber, present.
Dave Moses, present.
Mike Wheeler, present.
And now, present the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
This meeting probably be a little longer than normal. And David, if you would please present the next item, which is the General and Utility Fund budget for fiscal year 2013-2014.
Good evening. This is for the public. The council has seen the budget, so the budget has been available on the city's website since September 10th. Following the mayor's presenting it to council on September 10th. You can get a copy on the website. You can also get a copy here at City Hall if you want a paper copy. That's $3.60 for a copy of the full budget, or you can select the pages you want, 10 cents a page. I'm going to walk through what's in the budget. We'll start with the general fund. There are two funds, the general fund and the utility fund. The utility fund is water, sewer, trash collection, and recycling. The general fund is everything else, the general operations of the city. You can see here the revenue for property taxes. The columns here are last year's budget, what the amount actual is through September 9th, the projected end of year, and then the proposed budget is this column. So this is the column that I'll be speaking to this evening. and you can see the first item here is property tax. This property tax represents a decrease in property tax. There is a calculation called the effective tax rate, and council discussion at the meeting on the 10th was to keep the rate the same rate that it is, which will generate less revenue than it did last year because of decreased property values on the rolls. We do, however, have some new construction and some that added to that, and you can see that that will generate an additional $12,577 in revenue over last year's budget of $800,000. We have the franchise fees that we collect from utilities to use our street right-of-ways. We have the electric, gas, telephone, cable television, those top four. The franchise for gas has seen a substantial decrease in the amount of gas that we have sold in the last year. Part of that is we have fewer homes, and we've also had reduced gas use from the weather that we've had. We do have a pretty substantial increase in sales tax. That's a positive. We attribute that. Obviously, we don't have a lot of businesses in the city, but we do have services that you purchase at home in which the city gets a sales tax. So your cell phones and your data plans for your tablets, those things generate a sales tax that comes to the city. Another one that's had an impact are some of the services you get through, like UVerse. Has had an impact on the sales tax that we get, the on-demand videos and those things. We have a sales tax for street maintenance, which is an authorized 0.25% tax, so it ties directly to the other, and that is used only for street maintenance. That's a reserved use fund. The mixed beverage tax is pretty flat. Looks like we're going to finish about within $50 of what we budgeted last year. Then we have licenses and permits. These are building permits. We're downsizing that. We're not seeing the volume of construction that we had hoped to see. We did have a surge, and now it's kind of flattened out. And then we have our other interest payments that we received, checking interest, text pool, certificates of deposit. And then the last item here is leases and rentals, and that is the leasing space on our water tower for cell phone users and leasing ground space for the T-Mobile tower that's here, which also has clear on it. And so that generates almost $22,000 of revenue to the city. Municipal court revenue is down. The completion of the overpass at Shore Acres Boulevard and 146 has decreased the amount of traffic that's being worked there. When there was a signal and vehicles were slowing down and stopping, we wrote a lot of tickets for expired inspection stickers and license plates. And now that is kind of swapped ends, and it's the more occasional speeding and not as much activity. with the red light there now gone on the with the overpass, the through traffic that might have run red lights in the past are going somewhere when they take the off ramp, and so they tend to stop. We have child safety fees, which is a amount we collect off of your vehicle registrations that the county collects and remits back to us. We have a new line item here for voluntary park contributions. Very shortly, you'll see an opportunity to add a voluntary contribution on your utility bill that will go to park maintenance and improvement. It's a swap out, so there's $500 in revenue, and when you see it on the expense side, it'll also be $500. If it's more, it'll just offset, or if it's less. Other income is the sale of surplus equipment, whether that's vehicles that are surplusing out, which we will have in this budget, a couple of vehicles that come out of there. Then transfers. These are really the most significant items in our revenue side. One is a contribution from the utility fund. This budget of $165,000, last year was $126,000, is the overhead cost of utility that the utility fund pays back the general fund for providing, such as office space and staff, telephone, those things that come out of City Hall to benefit the utility fund. Then this last item is what balances out the budget in that it would draw from the general fund reserve should the revenues be what they are here, and if all the expenditures were made that's in the budget, then it would draw down out of the reserve $390,000. That's not typically the case. If we finish this year's budget here as it stands now, you can see it was budgeted for $285,000. We've spent $214,000, and we projected it might be $252,000 at the end of the year. We've had a couple years here with significant expenditures from the reserve, and those are mostly capital improvements, such as the Public Works building over here, which has some more work going on it as well. So altogether, this budget has a revenue of $1.8 million for the general fund. We have departments within the general fund budget. The administrative department is the first one up, and it's also a catch-all. So it has wages and overtime in the personnel, but the longevity is for all funds and all employees, so that's not just administrative. Likewise, workers' compensation is for all of the funds in all the departments, and the pre-employment is also for all funds in all departments. Maintenance and supplies, the large items here, office equipment. This includes lease equipment like the copy machine, folding and postage machines that are used to do utility billing. And let's see what else we have here. That also covers the computer maintenance of the network system for the city's computer. Then we have telephone, cellular, electric, gas, dues and subscriptions and the checking account fees. We've seen an increase in all of the banking fees across the board have all gone up in the last year. The electric has gone down. This is City Hall electric. The things that we've done on this building to be more energy efficient are paying off, and we're able to reduce our budget here for electric. Administrative continues with services. We have funding here for legal notices in the newspaper, election expenses. The election expense is the full loaded cost of running the election now. We used to lease equipment from Harris County, but Harris County can only make the equipment available every other year, so we had to purchase our own equipment. We purchased the equipment, and then we have an agreement with LaPorte School District and with San Jacinto College District, and we conduct their elections for this precinct when they have elections. So we budget the full amount, because if they don't have contested positions and the college district only has the trustee here up every other year, then we get a piece of that back from them. But we have to budget for the whole thing. Merchant fees, that's for taking our credit card. Municipal code, that's the codification of our ordinances. Emergency management. Special events and projects, those are functions we have at Circle Park, those types of things. Appraisal district fees, we contract with Harris County Appraisal District to do our tax appraisals. Then we have property tax collection. We contract with the City of LaPorte to be our tax assessor collector. That requires a certification that we don't have here, and it wouldn't make sense for us to do that. They also send all of that billing out. Auditing and accounting. Auditing and accounting, we're seeing a couple thousand dollars more in recent years because of the federal funds that we're handling require a single audit act compliance. Legal fees, we've had an increase in legal fees for a host of things, a lot of which are related to Ike recovery, bringing actions against property owners, derelict buildings and those types of things. Building inspector, this is what we pay our contract building inspector from. Janitorial, outside services. Outside services was put in there a year ago for various consulting type purposes. We only used about half of that this year, and $15,000 of that was just recently allocated. So I don't think that the council expects to go over $20,000 next year, if that. Mayor and council expenses, these are the stipends and reimbursements. We have travel and training. This is staff travel and training. Then our insurance, this is insurance costs are across all the funds in all the departments. This is our property insurance, our liability, which includes errors and omissions, and insurance bonds. In our fire protection contract with the City of LaPorte, and our EMS contract with Clear Lake Emergency Medical Corps. We have no capital outlays in this budget for this next year. That brings us to municipal court. We have one full-time employee in municipal court, and I guess I should back up and say in the administrative we have three full-time employees in that. In the budget and administrative, there's one full-time employee in municipal court. So all of these costs are associated with that position, and then we have these expenses here: court security and court technology. These are derived from a fee that we put on citations that are adjudicated by our court, and so the court generates those funds. They are designated funds. Can only be spent for limited things, but they do appear in the budget. We have jury fees, municipal court jury fees. We pay $6 for jurors. And we have telephone, the judge retainer, and the prosecutor. They're not full-time employees. We pay an hourly rate for their appearance in court. We have warrant reporting. We have been participating with Omni, which we report to the state, and that goes on driver's license records. It tells DPS when there's an outstanding warrant, and they won't renew your driver's license until you clear that up with us. We also recently entered the SETSIC program. We just got our contract signed last week by Harris County. We're making payment tonight with the invoices, and then we'll be able to participate in the Southeast Texas Criminal Center program there and collecting warrants. And so this represents the increased cost over what last year actual was. Of the fine money we collect, 76.8 will go back to the state as their piece. And then maintenance agreements is maintenance on the computer software for municipal court. Here's our police department. I don't think my air conditioner kicked off. That was just This is seven officers and four part-time positions. The part-time positions are expected to migrate into reserve officers unpaid during the course of this next year. Overtime certification pay. Certification pay is a good opportunity to show you the kinds of things that are in the budget. The amount here that is budgeted, $11,340, represents the liability that we have if every one of our officers got the certification to get the highest certification pay. So it assures that we're able to pay all the officers any certification pay that they earn. To the extent that they all don't hit that target, all that money doesn't get spent. So in the prior budget, you can see it was 97.20, end of year, 48.04. So it's unlikely that we'll expend all of that. However, we could have personnel changes, we could have people who get their certifications, and so this represents the full liability of that. We have building maintenance, vehicle maintenance. Vehicle maintenance is pretty low. We rotate our vehicles, and we keep pretty much under warranty the entire time we have them and sell them when they still have a good resale value. Office supply increase, with them being in the new building, there's some startup expenses there that we've been experiencing with the police department. The small supplies equipment, this 27,000 is a large number. That represents the equipment for two police vehicles. That's light bars, sirens, radios, and the digital video recorders that are required for our police vehicles to meet the requirements for racial profiling. We have fuel, uniforms, then telephones, cell phones, the broadband services. We have laptops that operate in the vehicles. They're MBTs. The radio airtime. Now that we've been the last few years on the 800 megahertz, 800, 700, it's just like a cell phone. Every time they push the button and talk to somebody, we have to pay somebody for that airtime. We contract with Harris County for the radios. Some cities contract with the city of Houston, but they all charge you an airtime. Also include shop fees for programming those radios, as done by Harris County. Electric child safety program. This is the same money that we saw earlier in the revenue side that's collected from vehicle registrations. Janitorial service, training, firearms, prisoner services. We contract with the city of La Porte to use their municipal jail. We've been doing that now for just a few years. It's been very advantageous to us as opposed to losing an officer out of the city for a couple hours transporting to Harris County. dispatch contract. We have been dispatched by Lakeview, which is a joint operation of the city of El Lago and the city of Tay Lake Village, $14,000 a year. This budget changes that dispatch to go to the city of La Porte, so that we'll be dispatched by the same folks that dispatch our fire services. We think that we'll get a much higher level of dispatch service. Lakeview has one dispatcher on 24/7, whereas La Porte has typically three dispatchers on the console. So we'll get much better officer safety and handling of our calls. That will also allow the same dispatcher that dispatches our fire calls and police together. Whereas currently Lakeview only does our police, and they have to ship the fire calls to La Porte and the ambulance calls to Clemson. So that should be an improvement. And that represents almost the entire growth in service expenses in the police department. The growth in personnel is one additional full-time officer over last year's budget. Then we have the capital outlays. This represents two police vehicles. We're on a cycle where we replace a vehicle every 2 years. We replace the equipment on the vehicle every 4 years. That allows us to keep the vehicles under warranty and our maintenance costs very low. The commercial vehicle enforcement was taken from 1.5 full-time positions in the last budget to 1.5 part-time position last year. This budget phases it out altogether. This will stop the routine inspection process. It will not inhibit our officers from stopping container trucks, tractor trailer trucks, and enforcing laws. We just won't be stopping them to check driver logs and equipment violations that aren't of a moving equipment type. Parks Department. We go from a part-time to a full-time person in the Parks Department. Everybody wears more than one hat, so while we have a parks person going to a full-time person, we want them also to be available to use in utilities. And for that reason, you see the addition of certification pay. And then we now have the health insurance increase costs, as well as the retirement increase costs going to a full-time position. Maintenance other is an agreement we have with Friends of Heron Park. It goes to that organization for maintenance of Heron Park. This is the $500 that was represented on the voluntary contribution on utility bills in the future. Then we have general supplies. The general supplies include replacing equipment and all the maintenance of all of the parks that we have. We have four parks that we manage. We telephone, electric. This electric is the restrooms and the ball field lights at Circle Park. We had budgeted $2,600 last year, and we're going to finish the year at about $3,600. And what that means is the kids are coming back to the park with Little League post Ike. We went for a few years there where they weren't, and now we're back seeing a lot of activity at Circle Park, so the lights are on, and that's a bill to pay. And I misspoke earlier. This general maintenance is not this. It's the $2,400 here. This Friends of Heron Park. I'm sure they would. You would love to have $12,000, wouldn't you? But it's $2,400. I'm sorry. Got ahead of myself. And then contract services. The Parks Department maintains not only the parks, which are Miramar and Circle, Bioforest, Taylor Bioparks, but also maintain the grounds of City Hall and the police station and the medians. And so this is the mowing contract here for mowing all of those park properties and the medians. It's this $28,000 number.
David,
yes.
Being as how the $2,400 is the Friends of Heron Park agreement,
yes.
What is the $1,200 under the maintenance of it?
The $12,000.
$12,000, thank you.
Yeah, let's see, I have the specifics. I'll get you the specifics.
Repairs, backhoe, maintenance, equipment,
rental,
and bait.
There you go. There you go. Did that cover it?
That did, thank you.
I mean, I can read it. You read it.
I've read it.
Oh, yes.
For the public's
yes,
benefit,
sir.
As it was passed.
And we have no capital outlays this year like last year in the parks. Public Works Department. That's pretty straightforward. The changes that we have here is in office supplies. Again, this is outfitting the new office. That they've moved into. Office supplies also covers items like furniture and filing cabinets as they get into their space. $1,000 increase for signs. Those are signs that are being replaced along with the new road work. Last year we had a pretty good surge on street name signs, and then we have regulatory signs this next year as well to replace and bring them up to standards. We have an increase there. It appears to be an increase in the street maintenance sales tax, and what that is that's a rollover from unexpended funds in the prior year. So where we had $25,000 last year budgeted. Only $2,500 of it got spent. And so the other adds to the revenue from this year, which gives us $24,493 over. So it's really not an increase in expenditure as much as it is those funds rolling over.
I'm sorry, of course. On GF8, was a $360 deficit corrected in the number? Yes, okay. Okay, that's all I needed. Thank you.
All right. Facilities here, the $20,000 for Public Works is for the storage yard, which is currently primarily mud, and this will allow us to put some material in there depending on how much area we want to cover and what the price of material is. That could be anything from crushed limestone to asphalt to millings. It's $20,000 won't do very much for us in terms of doing concrete there, but it will allow us to have a surface where we can park equipment and vehicle inside the yard. Overall, the entire Public Works Department sees an increase of $28,854. Then we move to the utility fund. Here's utility fund revenue, which is completely flat. The only increase is the contribution from the general fund. Where general fund saw some expenditure increases, those increases get passed through to the utility fund. The reserve number there is the $22,000 additional taking from the reserve. You can see we had budgeted $434,000 and we expect only expend $370,000. That's higher than what our historical has been, but we typically come in under budget. And I have those numbers to share with you when we get through here. Water department, very slight increase. All the personnel positions in this budget have a 2% cost of living increase. One position was adjusted to market, which was the Parks Department position that we passed, and the city administrator has no cost of living increase or adjustment in this budget. We're reducing the amount of water meters that we purchase. We didn't purchase any this last year. We had an inventory, and the demand on parking on the water meters is decreased, and so we have a decreased amount. It's anticipated we probably won't spend that $1,000. If we do, it will be on larger meters. Those folks who get a one-inch meter for irrigation, we would have to purchase those meters. This is continues the water department. There's no longer gas service at the Public Works building or the water plant, so we don't anticipate using any gas. We have pretty flat on the cost of water. Our water consumption is remaining pretty stable. Much better flat this year than in the past from any spikes from breaks. We're losing less water per break. Regulatory fees continue to go up. Again, you see the bank service fees are up. We anticipate less engineering being required with our new plants and facilities than during the period of time we were bringing those online. Equipment. Last year we purchased a mini track hoe. There's no equipment purchases in this budget. There is one replacement or one additional pickup truck in there for a vehicle, and then $150,000 to continue water line improvements. This would be an extension of the line. It's budgeted to be an extension of the line that will run from the new plant to Sunrise and Oakdale, and will help us take that line down Oakdale, eventually reaching Bay Baywood, and Miramar. And there's the transfer to the general fund for supporting the utility funds. Sewer department. Again, one person. Supply costs decrease because we have new or rebuilt lift stations, so we don't anticipate having as the same maintenance costs. In the services, we have seen an increased cost of electric. We don't have, well, we have the new lift station online, seeing a little more cost there. Engineering fees, we again, because of the new plants, we don't feel like we'll need the engineering fees or the outside services. And the contract treatment, we send all of our wastewater to Gulf Coast Waste Disposal. We've tightened the system up, so we're getting less inflow and infiltration, which is treating basically bio and rainwater. So we've tightened the system up and have managed to keep our costs down there enough that we're able to reduce the projected expense for that treatment. And there are no capital outlays budgeted for the sewer department. Trash collection. No general supplies. Last year, those general supplies were put in there to support recycling. We don't look to have any expenditures in this next budget. The heavy pickup is adjusted to a more realistic expectation of what our First Friday heavy pickup is costing. The collection contract has been increased. We're up for renewal or renegotiation of our contract with the waste company. And so this allows some headroom in there. We've not had any increases in our trash collection contract in a number of years, including no fuel adjustments. And it's kind of amazing that they've held on without making any adjustments since before Ike. So we'll be negotiating that. This allows a little headroom for that. Hopefully we won't have to spend anything beyond what we currently have. And then sales tax is a pass-through. We collect sales tax on trash collection, and then we remit that to the state. And so that represents the sales tax. So that is the utility fund. Those are our two funds. We will have a budget hearing where the public can come and offer comments on the budget. They're welcome to look at it on the website or pick up a copy or come look at a copy at City Hall. That's all I've got this evening.
Also, I'd like to point out that item 8.4 is consideration and action to amend the proposed general utility fund budget for fiscal year 2015-2014, where there certainly will be opportunity for input. Are there any questions, comments from council considering item 3.1? Any questions or concerns from the citizens?
What was the date on the hearing? Monday.
The 30th? Let me see here.
It's Monday the 30th. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that is what it's on it held until the agenda item.
I would prefer if you have specific items for council to consider that they be addressed at that time. Thank you. If not appearing, we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is approval of minutes. Item 4.1, if council has had a chance to review the minutes, I'll entertain a motion.
Approve the minutes from September 9, 2014.
Is there a second?
A second.
Vote. It's closer. We have a motion that's been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Item 4.2, special council meeting September 10th. If the council has had a chance to review those minutes, I'll entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting from September 10th, 2019.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Stephen, thank you. We have a motion that's been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? None appearing, the motion carries. special reports and requests. I had attended several meetings over the last couple of weeks. The first meeting was with Chad Burke of HGAC, where we discussed how HGAC can better serve the city of Shore Acres, and we discussed several opportunities to think a little bit outside the box and as far as trying to promote the city and growing our population. Had that very same conversation with Phyllis Sathoff, who is with the Port of Houston Authority, where we have discussed opportunities for not so much how they can help us monetarily, but how they can help us through other means, such as a little bit of outside-the-box thinking, how to promote the city of Shore Acres as being a community of choice and encouraging participation in community events and things of that nature, as well as encouraging the growth of the city through promoting the city as a reasonable area to live for employees or relocating employees with all the growth that they're anticipating, but also encouraging their business partners to consider Shore Acres as a community of choice to promote to incoming staff and things of that nature. Talked to State Senator Larry Taylor as well concerning issues with the Bigger Waters Act, and I'm not sure if everyone's been paying particular attention to that, but there's been federal movement now to amend some of those negative issues concerning that act. It's in the federal hands now, and we're moving towards limiting the negative effect it'll have on the community. But that was the primary topic of discussion with the representative. And those are the three meetings that I had attended. Council, have any questions? Any questions from the citizens of this?
What's HGAC?
Sir?
What is HGAC?
The Houston-Galveston Area Council.
Oh, HGAC?
Yes.
I thought I heard you. But okay, never mind. Thank you.
Did you say you met with HGAC?
Chad Burke. He's the
Economic Development.
Yes. I apologize. It was not HGAC. I thank you very much.
It's okay. I was confused with that.
No, the Economic Alliance, where we had discussed.
So you did talk to Chad.
Yes, it was Chad. Absolutely, I have his card, but I failed to write down the right acronym. I apologize and thank you for correcting me. But yes, we were discussing how the Economic Alliance Council could help promote the city of Shore Acres as a community of choice and a primary alternative or a primary community for folks to relocate to or perhaps even look at opportunities for growth and development. Thank you very much.
Can you ask if there's a question? I have one.
Yes, ma'am.
Usually the City of Shore Acres might donate to or give money to the Economic Alliance. I didn't see that in the budget. Is it located in the budget anywhere?
Yeah, it's in dues and subscriptions.
And how much is that?
I would have to check it.
I would argue they haven't updated anything. They still have Sylvia Garcia listed as potential. None of the demographics have been updated since before I. So, what you say?
Thank you. Are there any other questions at this time? Not appearing. We'll move on to citizens' comments. Item 6.1. Anyone who wishes to address council at this time is more than welcome to.
My understanding, citizens' comments concerning the budget will be at the time of your discussion at the end of the meeting.
Yes, we do have item 8.4 on the agenda, which is consideration and action to amend the proposed general utility fund. And at that time, if you have a question or concern for council, I would suggest waiting until that time to address them. If there are no citizens that wish to address council at this time, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Excuse me, David Jennings, 1017 West Forest Avenue. I will address specific items in the budget later, but I will want to say right now that it was disappointing that the budget presentation came from a city administrator and not from an elected official, specifically the mayor. I think that we deserve that and that That's all.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from council, from citizens? With none appearing, we'll move to the next item on the agenda. Administrative reports. City Administrator, David.
Good evening. Saturday we had an unfortunate event happen out in the bay, a boating accident that came into Houston Yacht Club. Our police department responded, as did Clemcy. Our officers were successful in getting a pulse back for a drowning victim in that boating accident, but unfortunately they died later at the hospital, but they made a good effort on that. There were two victims involved. Our dispatch requested additional assistance from LaPorte Fire Department, and they declined. We don't have a contract with them for EMS, and so they wouldn't send a fire truck for first responder. However, because we had the need, we were fortunate that Port of Houston Authority sent a full crew and truck from Bayport to assist our officers in Clemcy, as did the Seabrook Volunteer Fire Department. And so while we didn't get LaPorte, we did get two other fire departments that answered that call for assistance. As a result of that, Clemcy has already been, previously I've reported, working on a memorandum of understanding with the Port of Houston Authority to be a first responder call to send a crew of first responders for medical purposes. They're certified first responders with a full paid crew of three to run on our ambulance calls here. That memorandum of understanding is illegal at the port, but the fire chief or their fire department has decided that in light of this weekend, that starting tomorrow, they will run as first responders on all of our medical calls in Shore Acres in advance of the ambulance arriving. So that will give us three medics on scene in advance of an ambulance arriving with its crew. And so we're looking forward to that happening. We have been making some progress on the Public Works building. This is what it looked like about a week ago, and this is what it looks like today. Marked improvement. They've started work on the roof. We got about a third of the roof done. That's insulation and new roof that's going on as well. Should vastly improve the appearance. There's also the new fence in there. That's part of the water plant improvement. We also contracted for a pad and apron to be placed in front of the public works, in front of the water plant, outside the fence. It's not part of the water plant. This is for recycling. We have two containers for paper recycling that used to be located here at Public Works, and we temporarily moved them to the end of north end of Bioforest during construction. As soon as we get a concrete pad in, we'll move them back down here, and we'll have a nice dry working surface for our recycling efforts and unloading our trailers and handling the paper and other items there. So it's a good paved spot. Unfortunately, when our contractor went out there to put this 30 by 40 pad down, they had a cave-in when they removed the asphalt. And when they dug down to see what caved in, you can see that there's a piece of reinforced concrete pipe that comes from City Hall that drains to the slough that's south of our water plant, and it transitioned into tin pipe, and the tin pipe rusted out and it failed. And what's really puzzling is this 24-inch concrete pipe that was feeding into an 18-inch tin pipe. So it was a real bottleneck. That looks like it might be bad news, and it partially is, but really it's good news because that's not our drain pipe. That's Harris County's, because Shore Acres Boulevard is Harris County Road. So we got a hold of Harris County, and they were scheduled to come out last Friday, but it got wet. But Harris County's going to come out. They're going to replace that and put the proper size pipe in, and it will help improve drainage for Byway and Shore Acres Boulevard and down and upstream. So that's a win. And as soon as that gets repaired, then our slab will go in, and we'll be able to get those recycling bins to come back home. And that's all I have for you this evening.
Are there any questions from council at this time? On the general activity report?
Yes. Well, I just, and it's more of a comment. One of the police officers, Officer Randy Thompson, that responded to that call received an accommodation letter today for his PPR, and he also resigned today. And Chief Massey will be reporting on that next week. I spoke with Chief Massey. He said it's okay for me to tell you that he will be doing a full report as to why the officer resigned.
Thank you.
And just, David, you said it started tomorrow. Bayport's going to start with the three-man unit?
Yes. Port of Houston. Already.
Is that an engine? Is that going to be an engine company? Yes.
It's an engine company.
No, thank you.
Are there any other questions on the general activities? Johnson? Citizen? Yes.
Do you know,
was
the victim's part of the
regatta?
I don't know.
I don't believe that information is available to counsel. I have a question. Yes, sir.
The response time that they have. Mm-hmm. If we use FAR for a report, and we're using dispatch for a report next year, why are we going to use EMS? It's 5 minutes. They have a station now, station. Take somebody to the ambulance station one. Mm-hmm. And it's a faster response, plus the have station 4 right here. Why do we use an items over on the other side of the bay?
I did not elect to pursue that in this year's budget, as it was about $100,000 more than what we're currently paying. And I did not think that was fiscally responsible at this time. Are there any other questions concerning the general?
David, what's the ETA on that slab for the recycle bin at the month?
I would be surprised if it's anything longer than that.
Homeowner board keep that.
Yeah. We were scheduled up for Harris County to put that in Friday, and if they had this week, we'd have put the slab in. But now we're waiting on Harris County again.
Yeah, thanks.
One more question. What was the response time?
From the time that we received the call until the ambulance arrived, and I don't know what time the ambulance was actually dispatched, was 15 minutes.
Are there any other questions concerning the general activity report? Not appearing, we'll move to the monthly financial report. David?
Yeah, the financials are in your package. They're also available on the website. You can see our checking account balances. General funds, $56,000. The utility funds, $112,000. Our service deposits, $136,840. About $80,000 of that is transferred to the utility fund as due that fund from deposits that have been refunded. The CDBG fund, which is our grant pass-through account, had a balance of $1,664. We have received and dispensed funds since then, including today, of $22,000 and another payment on that work. Our text pool balance is $954,671. Which is about $738 more than we started the year with. We have four certificates of deposit valued at $249,741. Our property tax collection is at $823,607 at the end of the month. We've collected $36,110 in delinquent taxes. That would be prior year taxes, interest, and penalties. Our sales tax was the first time that we haven't seen a substantial increase over the same month of last year. We only had a 1% growth in sales tax. It's the first time we've been below 10%. That said, our sales tax collection currently is at $56,109. and we had budgeted that at 52, so we're 4,100 to the good, and we have one more month to add to that. The street road maintenance tax is the same situation. We're 7% ahead of what the budget is, with one more month to collect at $14,027. And that's the financial report.
Any other questions for council?
I have one question. Mm-hmm. City report 2013 property tax rate. Their report with the city of Shore Acres, it shows under Schedule A for unencumbered fund balance to be $1,748,857. And I've never been able to find that number because I'm finding numbers that are far less. Now, is that like an estimate you give them, or?
It is a projected number, but it includes tax pool, the certificates of deposit, what the year-end fund balances and the checking accounts, because that money all goes back into that to that number.
Okay, so it's an all-encompassing number.
Yes,
not just
it's all the cash. Okay. It's all the city's cash at the end of the year. What's back in the bucket?
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions at this time? Any questions or comments from citizens at this time?
Yes, sir. A question. In the budget, it shows for the end of this fiscal year a transfer of about $250,000 from the reserve to the general fund. Okay. Yet, in the summary David just provided, it shows no change, really, no effective change. Is the budget wrong? Or is the summary wrong? Something that doesn't jive, okay? That's one question. The other question is, I think back in June, the city received a grant check from FEMA for around $230,000. That was a reimbursement for the city's expenses right after fight for cleanup. Now that 220 or 230, whatever it was, where did that money go? Did it go back in the general fund, or went into the general fund?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess that's one question and answer to the other. The difference between what's shown on the budget, a transfer of 250, and what's shown in your summary, no change, really no effective change.
Yeah, there's
that I don't understand.
Yeah, there's two answers to that. First on the last one about the change, you would see it if at the end of the year we took all the money and all the checking accounts and put it all into a tax pool, and if we took all those funds and put them in there and then took it back out. The reality is when we start a new fiscal year, we have money in all of those funds that is already there. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay,
so
well, so I guess the bottom line I'm only concerned about, the tax pool is whatever, $950,000 now, and when you go into the 1st of October, it's still going to be $950,000, roughly? Or is it going to drop? Are you going to move money over into the general fund?
We won't move. We try to not move any money out of tax pool we don't have to. So we have revenues yet to come in. If they don't come in, then it's possible we will pull from the tax pool. We have another $200,000 in FEMA reimbursement that is destined to go to tax pool as a payback. We did get a payment in that range, which went to general fund,
okay,
which is part of what in the budget was the draw against the reserves.
Okay.
But the reserves are not tax pool, and it gets confusing because all the money is really in one pot, and we use what's in the checking first, and we use other funds. And then we go to tax pool, and then behind tax pool, which we've never gone to, which is certificates of deposit. But all that is all the same funds.
Okay, I don't want to take any more time discussing that. I'm just trying to clarify on my own mind.
No, I'm glad you asked that question. It is incredibly frustrating and a bit confusing, even for me to understand, and having it reiterated is not a bad thing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions concerning the monthly financial report? If with none appearing, we'll move to the next item, which is business. Item 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices. Does council have a chance to review the invoices? And if so, I'll entertain a motion at this time.
Make a motion to approve the invoices.
Wick with the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? None appearing. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is item 8.2, consideration approval of ordinance number 2013140, amending the city code to approve, or to provide, I'm sorry, for the appointment of a building official. Nancy?
Okay. That's two. Here we go again. Number four to get this done. There was some problems with the last proposal as far as the language. Things are a little bit too specific, but we do definitely need to change our city code to allow for us to have more than one person be in a building official in the city. That way you're not beholden to a part-time person that can, I'll be in second and fourth Thursday or whatever, and it will give, this is the first step in giving citizens the opportunity to have some choice and make it more of a free market system as far as a building official and your inspection. And it will also, I do believe, help with getting things done more quickly because you're not having to wait for someone to come in. So the next phase, after what we have to change this code first because of the way that it's worded, it's very specific and narrow as it stands. So with this amendment, this will allow the city to allow other building inspectors, officials, to do your inspections, and therefore, if Tuesday, two weeks from now, isn't good for you, you will have someone else you can actually call that might be able to lower your schedule. It will increase the rate of our improvements. And we're still getting there. And I know there's a lot of folks that have expressed concern and have some personality conflicts with the person that's currently here. And that's not about this. This is about giving you a choice. So if that indeed is your case, you may do that. Because I've heard from contractors that won't come in because of that. I've talked from citizens that I know I need a new fence, but I don't want to have to deal with this same person. And so this is just a tool to give the citizens more choice and make this more of an open market. And that's
thanks. Are there any questions or discussion from council at this time? Does anybody need a little bit of time to read over? Has everyone had a chance? Thank you. Any comments or concerns from citizens at this time? Yes, ma'am. Sure.
Lena Woodruff, 3534 Miramar. Open market in our banking system can only do us any favors, and I see a similar bid with the city inspector. I've never had a legitimate, reliable contractor not want to come in, and I've had everything from electric, plumbing, gas work, fence, everything you can do around the house. And no contractor is going to tell the homeowner, well, yeah, we failed the building inspector today because I was too cheap to do your job right. And so because I didn't meet code, well, yeah, now we're going to have to meet again. What they say is, well, that guy's a real jerk because he failed us. He's mean. We want quality in the city. When somebody goes to buy a house, we want them to know that hopefully the homeowner actually got a building permit and it got signed off by building inspector. We've had several years of good quality. We've had a number of homeowners, specific case, not anonymous case, 3320 Miramar over by you. They put in a new floor. Everything's torn up. She's a little bummed at first that the water pipes underneath the floor have to be pressure tested until they all burst.
and she got was able to do that in an economical way instead of putting in several thousand dollars of employment. There are stories of that. The free open market, I'm concerned about the quality. I think you're going to have a lot less control over who's going and inspecting the houses. And especially in a firm where you don't have the same person working there necessarily for years and years on end, you just don't know. And that worries me. Because when I have somebody come in, a contractor, I don't always know exactly what the code is supposed to be. And I'm dependent on the contractor doing a good job, and then first time when the inspector comes in, it's getting passed. So I disagree. I'd prefer this not to happen.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments at this time? Yes, ma'am.
I can say that I personally have used this inspector quite a few times, and he is here for our benefits, and he has done his job. When he failed something, it was because the contractor failed to do his proper job. And I'm like her. I am a little concerned that we may not have that. Yeah, sometimes people get upset because he is a little picky, but he's being picky for your own good.
Thank you very much. And just for the record, your name and address, please.
So in the Trahan, 3215 West Country.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Ron Hospice, 418 Sea Grove. I believe the code amendment states that it's giving the mayor the authority to appoint additional building officials. It doesn't state anything about getting rid of our current official building inspector, and that building inspector will still be available for those residents that wish to use them. Am I correct on that?
That's currently how it's worded, yes.
His contract is still not in that code.
Correct. That is correct.
City code, which our whole city code on that is a whole separate issue. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more work to be done on that.
That is correct. Are there any other questions or comments at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Diane Victor, 3346 Miramar. I can't believe that there aren't additional inspectors that could give us the same quality of inspection as the one that we have at this time. I know that there are other towns functioning with building inspectors, and I don't hear that the quality of their housing is below normal, subnormal. It's unbelievable that they want to fix. We should fixate on one person and rely on this person. What happens if this one person becomes sick? You need an alternative. This isn't getting rid of this person. This is just giving alternatives so this city can continue to grow. And
as the code is worded now, it specifically says, let me laugh. If this is not amended, if something were to happen to him, we don't have them. This is giving that opportunity. That's all it's doing.
Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. The way I envision this, you're going to maintain a list of building inspectors of some sort that are authorized or approved in some way or another by the city. Maybe I'm wrong. But about 2 months or 3 months ago, when this process started, I recommended that Veritas Inspection Service, which by the way is the foremost international and national inspection service around, who have groups of inspectors, that they be put on that list and made available. Their inspectors generally are engineers, electricians, and so forth, degreed persons. So if and when you reach that stage, I'd like to see Veritas Inspection Services on that list, the same as Morgan's Point. It has made the shift over, 6 or 8 months ago. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any others at this time? Yes, sir.
David Jennings, 1017 West 4th Avenue. If I recall correctly, on the last council meeting on the 9th, the mayor said that we already have an open market system and that we can contract with other engineers if we want to. I think what this is just doing is increasing the low fee scale that we have, and so we don't have to go outside of the city. And as a free market person, I understand Dana's concerns. Absolutely, as a free market person, I think that Veritas is very well qualified. Many people are very well qualified, and that we should open it up to that free market system.
Yeah, and you're correct. The city uses Latin Lam as the individual. However, if at the builder or homeowner's behest, they choose to use a certified engineer, then that is acceptable as well. Are there any other questions or comments at this time? With none appearing, does council want to take an action?
I move that we approve ordinance number 2013-140, amending the city code to provide appointment of building official.
All right. And the motion?
Okay.
Second by Nancy. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries. Item 8.3 on the agenda. Consideration and action to adopt resolution 2013-122, designating a representative and an alternate to the Houston Galveston Area Council 2013 General Assembly. We had postponed this from the last council meeting as we were missing some representatives, and we didn't want to miss out on this grand opportunity, this volunteer opportunity. What I'm looking for is somebody to volunteer to participate on this team, and I believe the demand requirement on time is roughly one mandatory meeting, and then per year, and then if there are other meetings that should come up, we would certainly ask the primary to attend, and then the secondary in their stead, or together. Even more representation would be fantastic. But I wanted to at least give the full council the opportunity to be represented at some place other than City Hall. I believe it was Connie Ramirez was the primary, and Rick
occasionally, yeah.
I think you were the secondary. I don't believe that this is a huge commitment, but it certainly is at least one meeting that we'll need for you to attend. So I would like to at least encourage council to consider volunteering for this post.
I was able to speak with my boss, and he said that, because I asked him about this, I said no one else, and he's good with it. So I'd be more than willing to do that as primary.
And is there a council member that would wish to back Nancy up as an alternate?
I'll do it.
Mike? So we would have Nancy Snell as the representative and the alternate as Mike Wheeler. If there are no other volunteers at this time, then we would certainly entertain a motion on item 8.3.
I'll make a motion of item 8.3, consideration of action resolution 2013-122, designated representative alternate to the standard council. Nancy Snell is primary, and Mike Wheeler is the secondary.
Second. Excuse me. We have a motion that's been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? None appearing. The motion carries. Thank you very much, Nancy and Mike, for volunteering for that for us. I'm excited to have you there and look forward to your participation in HGAC. And now, the one everyone's been waiting for, item 8.4 on the agenda, consideration and action to amend the proposed general and utility fund budget for fiscal year 2013-2014. I placed this on the agenda for one specific reason, and that is when the budget was presented to council, we had it's council's job at this point to make any amendments to that budget. And with TOMA and all the other requirements, I wanted to make sure that council has every opportunity to come together and speak as a group without running a risk of running afoul of that particular legislation. So at this time, and I would hope that on the following council meeting as well, wanted to provide some time for council to discuss possible action as far as the budget is presented. So if there are any changes that you would like to talk about amongst yourselves in this forum or suggest, we have the ability to take action, we have the ability to discuss. And as far as I'm concerned, I am here to help facilitate that and to provide as much time as necessary to do what is best for the city. So with that, I'd like to open it up for discussion for any particular items that you would like to discuss, talk about, or take action on. And I would amend that by saying that I hope that if we want to take several actions, we do them individually, or at least discuss and talk about them individually and allow for public comment before we take individual action items.
Quite frankly, honestly, Mayor, my thoughts, we've been deficit spending since 2007 before the hurricane. And we can't do this anymore. And we can't put it on these folks' backs by tax increasing. What is going to be needed is going to be quite uncomfortable, not so popular, but we are going to have drastic action. It's not about the $42,212.41 of the increase if we held the tax rate to the same. We're talking about having to make some serious, serious, big cuts. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. We can't keep there. David Stahl said it the same last week. He said if we do this two more years, we will have no reserves. None. I mean, if I ran a household like that, there's absolutely no way. So either we can line by line this out, and in my opinion, council needs to have an emergency, another budget workshop meeting, because this is too big. This is huge. It's monumental. Of course, that's open for public, but
sure, absolutely.
We're either going to have to line by line this, or we're going to have to do an across the board cut and trust our department and our heads to sit there and be fiscally responsible. Because if I give my kid a $50 a month allowance, he can't go sit there and just print money in the bag. He's got $50. He's, you make it happen, and people will do that. We can't do this. There will be no city of Shoemakers if this spending continues. And it's a lot worse than I thought it was. A lot worse than the last time I voted against the budget. Because, you know, we can't give people not
yet a specific idea or
just a point of order.
At this time, we'll entertain public comments once council has the opportunity to discuss. Thank you.
But we're really going to have to make some hard decisions in this city. And if we continue to deficit spend, we've got a new water tower that we need to bond for the first time ever in the city. We won't be able to get funded if we consider it a junk bond because we're deficit spending. So if we do not put ourselves back into the black, it is going to be catastrophic. Disastrous, and I know it for a fact, we will not be bond eligible. If we consider the top bond, we will not be able to float that. No way. So, as it stands right now, I mean, I've got ideas, but this needs to be a special, another budget meeting, and we're going to have to just float our budget for the 30 days that's allowed by law, and then readdress. There's just no way we can sit there and do this amount, I don't think, and then. asking if I do have individual cuts, but it doesn't quite cut the mustard all the way up to what we need to cut. So,
well, my recommendation is that we start discussing now and we make a pass. Yes, ultimately it's going to be an iterative approach. But the way I did it in my family was to do that first pass, and well, I do it with a spreadsheet with the live numbers, and so I see the bottom line of what's happening as I make the cuts. I'm like, am I close? I'm not close. It's going to get even more nauseating. And there goes the second pass and the third. And so I would say we've protected time this evening, so let's make one pass at a reasonable pace. See what it really looks like. Comments back, and yeah, we're going to have to meet again. That's part of what we agreed to when we said we're going to have to work. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, with that being said, are there any other, anyone want to take the first pass?
Not the first pass. Under the administration, where they have funded for the administrative clerk, there is no one in that position because the administration line item calls for David Stahl and Annie. And we know that we've had to increase because Annie, because of the health Obamacare fund stuff, and she said she's going to decline her health care, but we've got that general fund administrative clerk position at over $43,996 as a placeholder. That makes no sense. Am I correct on that? Yes.
What I'm going to do, I've asked David to, as we go through the line items, to have it up on the board for the public as well.
That just doesn't make any sense to me to sit there and have over $43,000 just kind of hanging around. Because Annie will be part-time, David's full-time, and then we have the administrative clerk at $15.45 an hour with benefits. That right there can be mixed.
Find those figures you're talking about.
What's the page reference?
This is HR 1.
That's all the salaries, so there's no
right. The line item is 6110.
No,
that's not it. It's administration personal.
It's probably best to address them by their account.
Okay.
Account number.
157,221.
Yeah, but they're all. That's all salaries together. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're not. Where's this? She's.
Sorry, are you then proposing
that
it was sent out separately, the personnel?
Can be amended to remove that placeholder?
Yes.
And I kind of want to try to have this flow in the same orderly fashion, so what I'd like to see happen is that we've got a suggestion.
Maybe when we're on a page, we all discuss the page. Which I can say that might be the way, because otherwise, if we each take our own path,
I would certainly like to ensure that we have the public input as well this time. So I have no problem with addressing it by page. If the entire council would go ahead and I guess we'll go from left to right, the suggestions that are made. Make the suggestions and then discuss. We'll have discussion and then we can vote on or take action if necessary.
Okay. It's the vacant clerk position that's holding at $32,509.50. I just don't see, and it says vacant clerk. And I don't see the purpose of having that money in the budget.
So, Nancy, your suggestion is to remove the vacant clerk at 6110-10.
Correct.
Any others on GF? Is that GF 3?
Correct.
Yes, there is no. Because in this light, Nancy, what you're saying is, and it's what I want to see across the board, this general thought. Let's not budget for what we aren't going to spend. In other words, let's not do things and make it more confusing to, as we go along, track where the money really is. Otherwise, it's like, oh, well, we budgeted for it, but we know we're not going to spend it. Okay, if we know we're not going to spend it, we don't budget for it. And as far as a contingency, if a contingency actually happens, then we have a special meeting to address it, and it really forces more scrutiny on what's being proposed so that we are forced to be more diligent with an unanticipated expense. And it doesn't just kind of slip by as, but we budgeted for it, so we're cool. And so if we're going to tighten our belts, we tighten it in such a way where we then force ourselves to be responsible for additional expenses. So with that in mind, I looked at the insurance that we know is going to be declined. If we know an individual is declining it, let's not budget for it. Yes, we know if that individual leaves, we would have to hire somebody new, but we'd have to possibly hire somebody new with a different rate. And as part of considering that new employee overall, we can reevaluate and say, you have to spend more, but we justify it, and that may even help with the personnel decisions. So I would say, if we know that we're not going to be utilizing the insurance, no budget for it. It's an empty placeholder that's not necessary to distract people. And that would be 6145. Excuse me. That would be out of 6170-10.
$5,689.44.
Yeah. Okay. So, Stephen, your suggestion then is for removing the insurance that was budgeted in 6170-10. That's your proposal. Or your proposal?
Yes, for the amount that we know is not going to be utilized.
Is that the only item on that page that
on this page
that you wish to propose this time?
Overtime. I'm pretty much opposed to overtime. There's some rare cases made to allow for overtime, but I would like to just discuss get a justification for overtime, exactly how that's utilized. Mm-hmm. See, police officers and shift changes, but
that's not on this.
I know in hospitals and other areas that are having to cut, mm-hmm. they're talking to the nurses and going, no more overtime. People all over the place are being told no more overtime. I mean, I think they don't have to make that a general rule. Certainly justify the overtime. So
I do believe that one, where that one is at, and I'm not trying to be alarmist or anything to that effect, but I do believe that there is a staffing. It's not necessarily built in as any type of contingency, but it has direct effect on the city clerk and availability during the day, and then the court appearances or the need for them to be at court in the evening. And that does present a bit of a staffing challenge.
Okay.
So that's the reason for the overtime in that position.
That makes sense. So why not budget for actuals spent last year?
You know, you can't. You know, we're talking a very small amount here. And you cannot.
Over.
When you're talking, when you have the full details of it, and the mayor just explained that, I disagree with that. I think it's hard to account for that. Now, if it's outrageous, it's one thing, but the court, the clerk, and her hours are kept, you know, it's that's somewhat difficult. So, and I just have to voice my opinion. I disagree with that one. I think that one's fine.
Well, the council has mandated that some of these people be attending these meetings. We can't expect them to be here on their own time.
Absolutely. So look again at the actuals. They've been mandatory over the period of time. We've spent $300. And maybe this isn't the one, but we see this over and over, and 1,000 multiple times will start to become significant.
I tell you what I think would be would help this flow a lot better is if the council members would make their suggestions on the line items, mm-hmm. and then we have the discussion in order, and where that type of conversation can take place, then we have the interaction and then action or inaction. So if we can first identify the items for proposal, then we'll address them one by one and hash out the details at that time.
Okay. The next would be 6330-10 dues and subscriptions. I've heard of a couple of areas that we might be able to save some on, so I think it's worth our just taking a look at those. Guilty News, is that a subscription that comes out of this?
We do not subscribe to Give Your News anymore.
Okay. Can we get it for free?
We get it for free.
We do. So we get it for free and can. Very good. That was one of
your mayor trying to save you a little money.
The person that called for my attention tried to say this one in the chat. The Economic Alliance dues. Mm-hmm. We heard tonight that might be something to consider. So that is what I have on this page, GF3. Thank you.
Very good. So you have dues, overtime, and insurance are the three that you had identified.
And in general, going with budgeting for against the actuals spent mm-hmm. for any category, and so you can see that in workers' compensation and different things. There's just all the way down the list, we have actual spent last year that seemed like a good metric to use for proposal. Reality versus. That's all I got.
So, did you have any notes on page one?
Everything was covered.
Oh, is it? I'm on page one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, this is the thing that's going to make me real popular. We're talking about cutting big numbers, mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're going to have to let, the bottom line is we're going to have to let people go, and that's going to be across the board. We're going to have to. This is the elephant in the room, and we might as well just go ahead and address it. And this is nothing personal at all. But, you know, the city was around without a city secretary. Until 2004. We got a city administrator until 2007. The mayor handled most of those duties. And then the clerks. And they were busy bodies, and I know they're busy, but, you know, I don't understand why we can't have a 29-hour week part-time city secretary. That would save us. That way we don't have to worry about doing type of care expenses. We've got some very competent ladies and folks that work here, and it would save tremendously. You know, David, you do a great job, but I don't think we can afford you. David makes, and he did not put a cost of living pay raise for himself this year, and appreciate that. But when he left the city of Columbus and came to us, he was making $26.50 an hour. And it was just not quite 10 years ago, and now he's making $45.50 plus certificate pays. And I mean, we're not as big as the city of Columbus. It's fallen all on our shoulders. And it's, there's things like that, and it's not going to be comfortable, folks. It's really not. And we're going to be asking a lot more for people to work a lot less. But it's things like that. Yes, we can sit there and say, you know, council decided, hey, we don't want to take our little stipend that we get. You know, that would save $1,500 in a year, and that stuff does add up, but it's not going to add up to the type of numbers that we need. We've got an $800,000 water tower looming over our heads. We're deficit spending. We're not going to be bonded. And we've got just a couple of years to figure this out. So, I know that's hard, but it's the truth, folks. We can't sit there and like this anymore. We just can't afford this. And there are companies that small towns hire that go out and find grants for you. And they just take a little bitty tiny half of a percent. And that's all they do. And, you know, we're going to, it's really going to be difficult. Otherwise, there will be no shore acres. LaPorte doesn't want us. Deport wants us, but LaPorte doesn't want us.
I'll make sure I get to your question before we transition to the next.
If we don't start making some difficult, very difficult decisions, and I know David has a contract that was signed just last year through February, but it, you know, doesn't have to be funded, and this is, it's just an expense that is, we can't pay these kind of salaries. No one else. Morgan's Point city manager makes $65,000 a year. We can't afford to pay somebody well over $100,000 a year in this city on our backs. And that's, I mean, this is the kind of discussion, though, that we need to have.
So your suggestion or your proposal then is to modify 6110-10 further?
Yes, very much further. To make that into a part-time position. And then, yes, Mayor, that would put a lot more on you. But that's how it rolled for years and years. And then you've got people who've got good folks, you've got good help here. But we can't afford anyone. We're going bankrupt, folks. And if it was in your house, you've got to treat it like it's in your house. Because guess what? It is eventually going to be in all of our homes. So, yes, I would like to modify that. It fulfills David's contract for February, but then eliminates the full-time city administrative position and make it a part-time, no more than 29-hour job. 29-hour job.
Is there anything else on page one that you would like to see modified or propose to modify?
No, that would be it.
Okay. So I have the two items for you to be the 6110-10 for the vacant clerk, and then also 6110 the city manager. Thank you. Bo, do you have any proposed suggestions on first page?
Doing proposals now, right?
Mm-hmm. Not. Correct. But we haven't taken action or had adequate discussion at this time. Keep in mind, this is past one.
No, I said I'm good. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. We're going to have... Hopefully, we'll have more more opportunity, but...
But we are not discussing it.
No, not yet. Okay. Not this time. Not yet.
We're fine.
You good?
We're just discussing this page?
Correct.
No, I don't have anything.
Very well. At this time, we'll take the items one at a time and have further discussion. After council has their discussion, I would like to entertain... input from the community before action is taken. If council will grant me that privilege, that's how I would choose to step through the items as we discuss them. Then the very first, we'll start with Stephen with the modification of 6170-10. And I would entertain discussion or... And in this instance, I believe there was some discussion, but I want to ensure that council has opportunity to discuss at length, should they desire.
I agree. I really, really do agree that it's not, and it's an overall concept. Contingency things. I mean, I understand everybody's got a savings account, but that's what that reserve is, and we're trying to keep from putting the reserve into the budget. If we had a come to Jesus moment crisis like we did with Ike, I mean, it'll be there. But don't pull out. Don't anticipate. I mean, don't sit there and dedicate that ahead of time. So I totally agree with everything that Stephen said.
There's no more further discussion from council at this time. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I'm obligated to say that it's not good governmental budgeting practice to not have your liabilities reflected on the budget. we offer benefits to employees. We have that as our in our city code, and to fail to budget for those benefits is puts us in a bind. If we know someone's going to decline insurance, that line item is only for insurance, so it would not get expended. This is not about the overtime or those things. I'm talking about the insurance. That money is not going to be siphoned off to some other thing. It's in a line item for insurance. On the other hand, if we lose an employee early in the budget year, you then don't have funding to provide the benefits that you offer employees. Yes, you can adjust the salary down. We start to get in a non-competitive position on filling positions if we have to take off of what could be as much as 30% on benefits off of the salary. We start a downward spiral. I don't think that money's going to go anywhere. It's no different than sitting in the reserve, being in that line item in that particular case. But I really strongly recommend that you do budget for all your liabilities that elsewhere you have obligated yourself for.
That being said, part of what I have concerns about is on the proposed budget, you have this increase of $5,689 above last year. I totally agree with Stephen as far as this $32K for a vacant position that we haven't filled. I see no reason for that. Not sure that I totally agree with Nancy's proposal of layoffs across the board. We have a city to run. It takes a certain amount of people to run this city, and we're not going to just fold up shop and say, "Sorry, we're going to close the doors at 12 o'clock on Monday through Friday." We have a city to run, and I don't see that we can do that by just having across the board layoffs. There are opportunities throughout this budget that I have seen to make substantial cuts, but I don't see that as a viable option.
And if I could answer your question on the insurance, there is a projection number there because our health insurance and life insurance renews in April. And given the current status of health insurance, it's just a best guess of what might be required in the budget to continue to offer the insurance. And that's where that number comes from. And that's why it doesn't match the historic, because we do renew in April. And at that point, it would adjust to whatever market is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What I'd like to say is my approach, I believe that as council, we're responsible for citizens. I believe we're responsible for people first. Citizens and employees first. People. And so I look, and I'm looking at 1,000 here, there. I want to make that pass first. Do I think it's going to necessarily be the all, the cure all? I don't know until I make that honest pass and cut the stuff wherever. Then you look at it, and then you say, do more decisions have to be done. But I'm not keen on negatively impacting people first. I want to impact the stuff and get people to work harder with the understanding of why they're working harder, and that's to help people preserve positions, control taxes for the citizens, things of that nature.
Well, I mean, if we could, they have to work harder for less if we take that approach. And I mean, that's the truth.
I've had that offered to me before. I actually had people step up and say, we want to keep Steve Jones, we'll all take a cut. But let's put that aside for a second and say, if I focus on one item that just isn't smart to do, okay. But I'm going to ask David before I just say, okay, if we have somebody leave, does that cause an event that allows us to reevaluate our budget and to go back to it, or have we locked ourselves in some way where we couldn't possibly spend outside of what we budgeted? I think what it does is it calls for some special event, but we could have that special event.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So it may seem like it doesn't make it real easy in the future, but quite frankly, I'm not looking for it to be real easy for us to spend money beyond budget in the future. So.
Well, I you know, couldn't agree more. The 5689 for the insurance, it's not going to be spent. I'm looking more at money that we are going to spend. Mm-hmm. You know, two police cars later on, two a truck. I mean, before I start laying people off, I'm cutting that fat out. I'm not here. I didn't ask to do this so I could negatively impact somebody's life and their livelihood. My deal is to find fat that I can cut out. I won't do that to somebody.
It's not going to happen. Let's get in trouble.
So let's then focus back on the first item, the insurance.
I'm taking this the wrong way. I think we need to go through this entire budget first pass. And yeah. We're focusing much on one item here, and we're not going to accomplish a whole lot with that.
No, we're not going to get anything.
And that I understand. Let's stay on topic, line by line, because we still have the citizens who we've told we're going to let them speak. And I intend to let them speak. And if we keep grandstanding on every single one of these issues rather than getting down into them and getting after it, then we're going to be here all night. Let's focus on it line item by item. Right now we're on insurance, but we've already deviated off four or five times. Let's run through this first pass, and we'll move to the next sheet, and then carry on. And if we need to have another meeting after this, then so be it. And a meeting after that, we have that opportunity. I know that I will do everything in my power to make myself available for that as well. But I want to make sure we get to the people. And I want to try to do this in as orderly a fashion as possible. So the first item is insurance 6170-10. We've had input from city administrator. We've had input from council. Does anybody else have anything to say at this time on that particular item? And if there's none appearing, we'll open it up to the citizens to have a comment, if they so choose, on that particular item. And if there's none appearing, yes, sir?
Ron Hoskins, 418 Cedar. I've actually done some comparisons to the budgets, and I know by law it's supposed to be year over year. I compared 2008 to 2013. Just our administrative personnel costs, we have had a percent increase of 55%. Mm-hmm. Our parks, 171%. Public Works, 143%. Sewer, 23%. Water, 12%. Police, 33%. Municipal Court, 26%. Total increase over 2008 in raw dollars is $347,000. $347,105. Total increase of 44%. Our actual estimated values of 2008 compared to 2003 is $3 million less, so it's like $94 million to $91 million. Why can't we go back to the 2008 budget? We've got big cuts to make, and it's not as simple as trying to cut out, you know, $4,000 for insurance. We've got to make some serious decisions. Because what we'll also wind up doing is we'll be saving people's jobs. We're not going to save everybody's job. We can't do that. We won't have a city. It'll be gone. We've got to make the cut, save the people's jobs that we can, and save the citizens. But this is serious stuff. It's big. And these numbers reflect it. We need to cut $350,000 out of the budget. That's my comment.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other folks who want to address the 6170-10 insurance component?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Do you have to be a resident to make a comment, or just own property?
If you have property here,
I don't live.
You're more than welcome to speak, but you know what?
What?
Whether you live here or not, I'm willing to hear what you have to say.
I don't have much to say. Well, I do. I just want to sit at this point and say I do agree with the approach that council, and we have somewhat of a leader in this approach, with Nancy, I definitely agree. I've owned property here since 2001, I lived 2000, and I've just seen money spent on things that just, I just don't understand it. And now I'm learning more money has been spent than I didn't even know. But, you know, this community really needs to manage itself a lot better.
And for the record, your name and address?
David Sanderson, and I have an address that's 115 Chaderwall.
Thank you, sir.
Other lots as well.
Appreciate it.
It isn't specifically on insurance, but right off the cuff, the guy that got $6 million in grants, a couple of free water that paid for, i.e., we got free water plants, free lift stations, 85% of the roads in our community paid practically for free, got God knows what percentage of the ditches redone free, or yeah, okay, so there was a couple of hundred grand we had to match, but I consider that basically free compared to $6 million. A new police station that was free, that's not the first person I would mess with, quite frankly, because we definitely did not have that money in the reserves post-Hurricane Ike when everything was wiped out in this city. We couldn't even flush toilets, but that same person was experienced enough and smart enough to have contracts on porta potties, so we have those 3 days later. People forget about those things. And for those of us that live here, those are critical services. I won't live in a city if it's not going to be professionally run. And that is a professional position. That's not a part-timer position. That's not a position where you're hoping every 2 years somebody smart who actually has the time to dedicate to the job. We're lucky that Matt has that time right now. That's not normally the case. And so now you're going to throw that up to the whim of chance. That's the first thing that's going to get for sale signs put in yards. That is the most ridiculous suggestion I've ever heard, and I'm embarrassed it even came up. You do have an extra, I'm speaking, thank you very much.
Let's have a bit of order, please.
We have an extra police position that was in the budget. That's the first thing that can cut. You just had somebody resign. That's another one. It's $100,000 right there. And because, and while police presence obviously is important to a city, we are a low crime city, I'm happy to say. And half a position apparently is coming out of commercial vehicle enforcement, which is not as important as actual police functions. So I'm not going to cry too hard if one person that doesn't exist never exists and another person's not replaced.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. Procedural question, just because I'm thinking about this, because I wanted to respond to Dana, but then it's not really appropriate right now. So my thoughts are, I'm very much for transparency and including the public. Mm-hmm. However, I think maybe just looking at a lot of different things, and then isn't the public meeting where the public will then really respond to the proposed cuts?
They certainly will have
this
input. This, however, well, although it doesn't appear to be the time, we put this item on the agenda specifically to ensure that council had the time to discuss in an open,
right,
Open Meetings Act righteous way. But our duty to the citizens, because it is an agenda item, is to allow them to speak. So although this isn't the public input component that's scheduled, that's required by law, we've added this in to ensure that the voice of the people is heard as well. So yes, it's not the public, the official comment period for the public, but I would hope that this is something that you would see as
losing a lot of time that council would be talking right.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah,
that's true enough.
To argue with Dana about
that is true enough.
And that doesn't make sense.
What I'm trying to do is get us back on track to the insurance component. Because then that would be overtime and then dues.
Now we're gonna be here all night.
Mr. Mayor, for me.
Yes.
It seems like we're not really making headway here. I understand you're projecting what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to go that route. I think folks are going to have opportunity. We definitely want to hear our citizens speak. Mm-hmm. But it gives us the opportunity to hear them at the public hearing to set up a schedule where we can have another meeting for us, councilpeople. Sit down, hash this out, come with a better organized layout for our citizens. Then when they can respond with an outcome. It seems like we're really getting off base here, and I don't think it's going to get on base.
We're entirely too much time on one agenda item, on one line item.
We definitely need to have another budget meeting.
I don't disagree with that.
We're putting the cart before the horse on this, because we haven't been able even to know that. Apparently, I mean, all five of us have things that we want changed. That's mm-hmm. obvious.
Yes.
So,
and rather than have you try to do that one at a time, without discussing amongst three of you, this is the forum
to do that. No, the proper forum would be another budget workshop.
And we can do that too. We've got time now to start the process.
This is not a budget workshop.
It's not a budget workshop, absolutely. But this is an opportunity for council to amend. I would hope that you've had time to look over the budget and take your own patch through it to be able to come here well prepared with items that you want to suggest for removal. David has been available for the last week and a half at least, as have I, to field any questions you may have as to why an item exists in the budget. I've had no communication from council in any way, shape, or form to have asked me on any one of these items what it's for and why.
Because we already know that, because we can read.
Then how much discussion do you need to have?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at, and that's what I'm asking you, and that's what I think Alderman Moses is saying as well. And I mean, we're not going to get anywhere like this.
Well, we've identified five items already where council wants to make changes.
And we've done nothing.
That to me is progress. Mr. Jennings, I believe you had a question?
Far be it for me to stop you guys. It was kind of entertaining. I understand Mr. Jones, and I actually agree with him, but I think Mr. Stahl is right on this specific line item. That's what we want to talk about. If the ACA forces us to offer and health insurance, we have to budget for that. Mm-hmm. No, that's a fact. But what I was trying to get off the line item, I would suggest that you guys go back and just do zero-based budgeting. The budget you should have is $1,326,940. Mm-hmm. And that's the money. That's what you have. And then just start from there, whether it be in a workshop or going line item by line item in a public meeting. I mean, Mayor, this should be your budget. You should put this forward and say,
and this
I am
is
balancing
my budget.
This budget, and here is what we have, and this is what I propose. You know, and if you want to desperately spend, then say that. That's why I was disappointed that Mr. Stahl presented it earlier. I really think it should come from an elected official. And that's all. And that's all I mean.
And officially, it has come from an elected official. As the budgeting officer for the city, this is my budget. And it's presented to council as in its current form. Council has every opportunity to make this into a non-deficit spending budget, which is what they've indicated, and I am good with that.
Can I ask one question?
Certainly.
Thank you. Why would you consider it appropriate to deficit spend to this amount?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a huge amount. Why would you consider that appropriate? It's your budget. And
absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
I'm curious.
I also am not interested in negatively impacting the personnel of this city at this time. And on top of that, I'm not interested in purchasing a whole lot of extra equipment that's not terribly necessary. I'm not interested in buying services from other entities at extremely large cost to the city, which has been indicated that interested citizens wanted us to pursue. The reduction off of deficit spending is not going to happen overnight. It's the cuts would be a bit too deep, too quick. So council is charged with finding those cuts. As their representative of the city, as well as I am, I've heard from a number of people as to what they would like to see, what kind of services they would like. And unfortunately, not everyone's going to get those services. So I've put together the budget according to my wants and requests from department heads, which they did not get everything they've asked for, what I felt was reasonable to operate this city without becoming so, without reducing it to the point where we start cutting into services. I'm not comfortable doing that without the council input. So I'm giving them the opportunity to represent the citizens to make the changes.
Which is what the workshop is what I'm getting at.
That they feel are adequate and necessary. Yes, sir.
I think you're trying to eliminate citizen comment, but I just want to make one and we'll leave. So you won't shoot me. I don't think this is not appropriate. I agree that this budget, you need to examine this budget. It cannot be this much deficit spending. It has to be adjusted some way. You're not going to do it here. And talking about personnel, and it may be an issue. I don't know. I don't know that much. I don't know that much about how it's run and so on. I've just heard some numbers. But I certainly wouldn't be sitting here. I wouldn't approve of sitting here talking about personnel reductions in front of somebody that you're talking about. I think it's a much more appropriate way of doing that. And that may be something that needs to be considered very significantly. But this is not being handled right. This is just a citizen telling me it's not being handled right. And I'm going to leave. Thank you very much for letting me talk.
We have a very serious problem, and I encourage the mayor and council not to be intimidated by people that throw up their hands and say, oh my goodness, the sky is falling. I encourage you to look at these things and be very serious and take drastic measures. We have got to cut our budget. I agree with Ron. You can't have everything. You can't have your cake and you can't eat it too. Okay? We've got to cut services. And I ask you, I plead with you, please do that for the citizens and save our town.
Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3246 Miramar. Just going to reiterate what David, city administrator, mentioned a couple of weeks ago in a meeting. So you got two more years. And the reserve fund is gone. And what's the next step? Bankruptcy. So if you don't act on it, you have to act on it strongly. We're headed down that path. Maybe you can stretch it out. Maybe we'll rebound. The city may rebound with other destruction. But right now, that's where you're at. And those are the words that they call to keep tracking this stuff. So it may mean he may be hit with a little reduction in pay. But there needs to be cuts across the board, not only in pay, not necessarily otherwise, but also in other services.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been quoted here several times, but I want to, can I clarify that, what I said?
Please.
What I said was that if we spent all the money that we've budgeted to spend, we would only have 2 years. We have never done that. As a matter of fact, I did bring some numbers with me because I had seen an indication where someone looked at the budget, what was budgeted instead of the actuals. This is from our audited numbers, and you can see the general fund at the top. This is to the extent that we went deficit in the general fund, 2008. 10 and 11 we went deficit. In 2009 and 12 we didn't. The big deficit's 2010, and that was impact of Ike. The utility fund, also 2010, Ike, and continues to run deficit. This was what I was speaking to directly at that council meeting, was the utility fund. We've not done a utility fund rate adjustment since Ike. We also robbed that money
not to pay people here, but to put a rebate on everybody's utility bills for 2 years. That's where that money went. That money went to our residents here because our taxes, our assessed value went down 27%. And so to not put ourselves behind the eight ball in future property tax, we gave a refund, a rebate, an Ike relief on utility bills to offset your increased property taxes. And so that's where that money went back out there. This is a trend we have to reverse. We have to make the utility fund be self-sufficient. It's an enterprise fund. It's supposed to pay for itself. And it does need to cut. However, that said, when you look at this budget and you look at those budgets, what we've done is we've spent money on assets. $168,000, $199,000 is not a lot of money when you're putting pipe in the ground or you're doing projects. I mean, we're about to do a water line that goes from in front of this plant to Sunrise. It's $140,000. We're doing that with grant funds. But we're also doing a water line that goes from Shore Acres Boulevard to Fairfield, and it's going to be about $115,000, and that's not grant funds. So some of this money is improvements that's going to assets. This is not money that's frittered away or extra personnel or benefits. So when I said 2 years, if we spent all the money we budgeted, which we don't do, yes, we could chew that up. But at this rate here, over the 5 years, which includes all of our Ike impact, and you combine those two together, you find it's just short of $700,000. So at those deficit rates, you've got another 10 years or more.
No, one of the problems is the budget balloons. You really don't have a realistic budget because you're showing us real numbers there, but then that budget is showing out of bounds numbers. So yeah. Why can't we, as I already mentioned, some kind of base rate or zero-based budgeting instead of balloon budgeting and put everything you dreamed about, four vehicles every year, that's crazy, and all these other things, and get it down to some basic stuff and eliminate all that ballooning. And of course, it's a little late to be talking about that now. You only have another week or so to come up with a budget.
Technically, the budget has been come up with and presented to council. I winnowed it down to where I felt was reasonable, and council now gets their opportunity at it as well. And that's the point we're talking about now is what does council feel needs to either come out or go in. And right now we're looking at five line items to make changes to. If council wants to make a change, then I would suggest a motion be made. And we start taking action.
I still think this is the wrong one. I agree. I'm going to go about it, even though Richard's sitting there shaking his head. I'm going to make it any more.
And if council doesn't want to take any action,
we need to have a budget workshop.
Then we conclude and we schedule a workshop. And that's fine.
I make a motion that we conclude and schedule a budget workshop.
Do you want to have any further discussion from public on item 8.4?
No.
We are not even to a point where we're there. Seriously. We're not to a point where we're there.
I would agree that I'd like to go ahead and see if we can go ahead and schedule a budget workshop as soon as possible. I think that would be all members of the council to be there. I know that I'll be out of town, but I'll come back here. So that we can all agree on a date right now.
Do we agree?
You need 3 days, though, right?
Yep, Friday's the earliest you can have it. You have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If you're going to postpone adopting the budget, we have to republish in the Chronicle again. We've already done that. And move that date. We can move that date as far as October 14th. If we are going to move the DOP, the tax rate date, then we'll have publishing on that. We can move that as late as the 21st. It's the absolute last day to adopt a tax rate. The tax assessor collector is already going crazy that we've got it delayed to the 14th. They're the only one they're waiting on to send out the bills. but we're scheduled for the 14th. You could...
Come on. You're saying that the earliest that we could have a budget workshop is Friday?
Yes, sir.
Friday, 3 days
72
ago.
Hours.
72 hours.
72 hours. 72 clock hours. Actually the tape.
So, and it was due. We'd have to republish it though if you said if we don't get it done.
But there's another opportunity you have. You can not adjourn this meeting. You can recess this meeting and reconvene tomorrow.
However, we'll still be on item 8.4.
That's correct.
We need it.
Same venue.
It's just certain council members. There's maybe some things we don't agree on certain items, so we have to get a budget workshop to figure this out to present to our citizens the proper way. So,
if I'm not mistaken, in a workshop, do we not allow
comments?
Yeah, comment?
They can
no.
be there present.
They can be present, but no comments at that time.
Very good. Very good.
If we carry on with this, I'm saying tomorrow, I don't, without validating it, can we not do it in a way that meets workshop and stays within? This is consideration to amend the
code. That would be correct, would it?
In a workshop setting?
You could take a motion to suspend the rules and not have public comment and continue the discussion without it. You can do that tonight. You can do that right now.
It could be witnessed, and then
the only obligation you have
again to open for comment.
The only obligation you have is that the public be able to hear your deliberations, not to have comment. There is a public hearing for receiving comment on the budget, and that is also required.
Because we could also, right now, receive public comment. If people have something to say, they could just go through their list, we listen, and we could do this tomorrow. I don't know if that's...
That is...
You know, as part of it, and then we get to where we do
I've
this.
I've made a motion, and there's a motion.
That is a component of it, and Nancy is right. There has been a motion made. And would you be so kind as to reiterate the motion as I'm...
Yes, I make a motion that we postpone for the discussion on 8.4 and continue to schedule a budget workshop.
Are you talking about postponing or suspending, as David was saying?
Suspending discussion.
Until tomorrow.
So you're making...
No, I don't want to suspend it. No, I want to stop discussion.
You stop
and
discussion and have a workshop.
The soonest we can have a workshop is next week.
Either Friday or start Monday morning, or Friday or Monday.
I think we're wasting time. We can suspend this and have a meeting tomorrow without public comment. And go through the majority of this budget.
Is that the motion that you're making?
She made a motion to end the meeting.
End the meeting. My initial motion was to end the meeting right now, and then we will have a budget workshop at a later date. And there was no specific date. And then Rick, I think he seconded. Did you second?
Yes, ma'am.
So there is a motion proper second on the floor.
Just for clarification, if we do that, we can't meet until Friday or Monday.
That's correct. That is correct. So
what day?
So the motion that is on the table is to close out item 8.4 on the agenda. That all further discussion is being suspended and the item is being
correct.
So when the motion has been properly seconded, all those in favor say aye.
Mm-hmm.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Mm-hmm.
I have two ayes and two nays.
I didn't say anything yet. I wanna know if I say yay to this and we get back onto this. I mean, why can everybody do this tomorrow? Is that why we're not postponing it?
There's no way I can do it.
Okay. So we don't have to
postpone.
Okay.
That's my problem. I have to be
okay.
How long can you postpone?
I vote
before it starts getting tricky.
Yeah.
I think, is it 2 days?
2 days is the absolute maximum, yeah.
She's on the rest of the week.
He's the rest of the week.
Okay, so then I would vote. Yeah.
Then the motion carries, and with that, we are adjourned.
No. Your motion was to set a date for a workshop.
We need to set a date.
I believe the motion was to suspend or end discussion and conclude on item 8.4.
Well, I wrote down and set a budget workshop date.
Very well. Then we do need to schedule the workshop.
I recommend. My recommendation is Monday.
Okay.
At what time? 5 p.m.?
Yeah, I want to do a little earlier than
6.
You want to do 6?
6.
6. I'm going for whatever. Are we trying to preserve that other meeting? That's taken a minute.
Well, we'll have to, it's a legal requirement, so we either have to do that on Monday or reschedule that and republish it. It's already been published. And repost it for another date.
That would be the best way to do that. Do we need a motion for that?
Yes.
I'll make a motion that we cancel the special meeting set for September 30th and reschedule.
I second.
We have a motion to reschedule.
To what date?
What is the furthest date?
It would be October 7th.
The furthest date would be October 14th.
Would we still be able to adopt the tax rate on that date, or would we have to push that out as well?
Yes, no. The order of business is you have to have a public hearing on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
You have to immediately then adopt a budget, mm-hmm. so it would be at the same meeting, and you have to adopt a budget before you can adopt a tax rate. All three of those things can happen on the same day. They can all happen on the 14th.
Very good. Is that more the council's liking? To reschedule the special meeting to the 14th?
We're really rescheduling the public hearing because you also just called a workshop.
Right.
So
yes, to reschedule the public hearing and adoption of the budget to the 14th.
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
All right.
Is there a second? Thank you. We have a motion that has been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries. And with that, we are adjourned.
So we have a budget meeting next Monday.
Mm-hmm. And if council feels it necessary on the 30th, we can hold meetings any time between the 23rd and the 14th.
We can't do it as long as we're letting the public 10 minutes.
Well, yeah.